You're not going to go on vacation with a bunch of pastors in the family. I mean, there's like, what, like 5, 6 pastors on this vacation is one little thing. Without like the Holy Ghost meeting and all the, you know, devotionals and stuff like that. So it was so cool. You know, I know I could tell you what Pastor Jim's going to be preaching on, but I'm not. You're going to have to come check it out. I could tell you what Pastor Dan's been dwelling on, but I'm not going to tell you because you got to come check it out. But you know, what's super cool is that we had all these devotionals. We had all these times that we got together. And they asked me like last minute, they're like, all right, you know, we kind of like things kind of fell apart in the last day. Everybody was starting to go their own way, packing up. And they're like, you know, we need to have a devotional. We need to have a spiritual time. Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? And they're like, Luke, you do it. And I was like, oh, you know, like, I wasn't really ready for it. So, but I had been just kind of going through the Word of God and just been searching my heart for things that, you know, I asked God to help me with. And one of my favorite things to do when I preach and shift is, you know, I love to preach on things that I go through because I think that it's just the easiest way to relate to something. I know that if anything, when I preach the message at the end of the night, I feel better. So I know that it's just something, but you know, I know it's such a relevant topic tonight. And I want to talk to you guys about the topic of worry, worrying. You know, I'm more of a pessimistic person. I guess you could say like, I'm not a negative person, although I have a tendency to be negative. But you know how they say there's two types of people, the people that see the glass half full, the people that see the glass half empty. You know, I'm kind of the guy that, you know, I really wish I was the guy that saw the glass half full. You know, there's just those people around that just, they're always positive. They're always just up and up, and they're always just, it's like, you know, they're the kind of people that you like, you almost kind of want them to like, you know, like, man, I want to see you have a bad day. You know, I really wish that's how I naturally was. But you know, I know that in God's spirit and in God's will, I can become that. But my flesh, my natural desire, my natural state of being, I'm the kind of guy that sees the glass half empty. I tend to worry. Is anybody else in this place with me? I mean, there's just things that you just kind of like, it just goes over my head. You know, the thoughts keep coming. I keep thinking about it. I'm like, what about this? What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this? You start dwelling on things, and what if this happens, and then this is going to happen, and then this is going to happen, and this, and you build up these like grand old situations. Am I alone in the house tonight, or is there other people in there, all right? Worry is something that we face day in and day out. I believe that everybody in this place, on some scale, can connect with me in the subject of worrying. I mean, it's just something that we deal with. It's our natural tendency. It's the natural human reaction when something goes bad, when the cop pulls you over and you see the sirens in the windshield or the rear view mirror. You don't start like jumping for joy, right? I mean, it's the natural reaction to just like, oh no, the ticket's going to be this much. Oh man, I don't got enough money in my bank account. Oh, that's 2 more points off my drive. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you know, worry is something that we face no matter what the situation, no matter if it's like super, super bad, if it's just casually bad, even if it's good. How many of you guys know that a lot of times in life we can have these high moments? Awesome, man. We're up on the mountain. We're just like, you know, up and living high life right now. And then all of a sudden, you're just super, super happy. But then all of a sudden, the worry starts setting. When is this going to end? What happens? What's going to cause this? You know, is anybody there? Like, you're just super happy. And you're just like, and all of a sudden, worry kind of comes in and takes it away from you. And you're like, what the heck is going on, right? So worry is something that we can all relate to. Tonight, I want to talk about some understanding of worry. You know, it's easy to say, let's live a life worry-free. The title of tonight's message, if you're taking notes, is Worry. Well, you changed it. Worry, don't do it. They changed my slide. I looked at it before, and I just kind of threw me off. Sorry. The title of the message tonight is Worry, don't do it. You can actually, if you're going to say it, it's actually kind of like a question, like, worry? Like, worry? Don't do it. Worry? No. Worry, don't do it. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to talk about some concepts, some understanding of worry, you know, because it's so easy to say Hakuna Matata. I was actually told Stacey I wanted to call my message Hakuna Matata. If you guys, you know, the Lion King, it means no worries. And she's like, dude, you got it. And I was like, man, you know, I really wanted to. But then you know what happened is I started singing Hakuna Matata all day long. And I'm like reading my Bible, like trying to go over the message and be like, Hakuna Matata. Oh, no, okay. I can't because then... See, I even said it now, so I already know if I named it Hakuna Matata, you're going to be singing it too. So anyways, if you guys would turn with me in your Bible to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew, the 6th chapter. Hello. That's for a different day. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Here we're looking at the words of Jesus. Jesus is addressing a multitude. There's a lot of things that goes on right here. I mean, this is a significant chunk of scripture. This is called the Sermon on the Mount. This is where Jesus is up on the mountain, all the people gathered around, and I mean, he just lays it down, how to pray, how to act, how to, you know, what to do, what not to do, kind of like the guidelines in life. I mean, this is just like power punch. Like, we just got done going through Romans, the 8th chapter, a couple weeks ago. I mean, we could really spend a lot of time here in Matthew, the 6th chapter. If you will, though, if you look in your Bibles, Matthew, the 6th chapter, I'm going to start in verse number 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow, they neither reap, they gather into barns, and yet the Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Verse number 27. For which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse number 30. For now if God so clothes grass in the field, which is today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear? Verse number 32. For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse number 33, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things, speaking of the clothing and the food and so forth, all these things will be added unto you. Verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Tonight, guys, we're going to talk a little bit subject about worry. We're going to look at understanding. I'm going to give you three simple points and how to understand worry. Because in order to live a life where you're not consumed by worry, a life where you're not consumed by anxiety, in order to live a life where you're not consumed by fear, you need to understand what it is that you're dealing with. And in doing so, in understanding what you're dealing with, and understanding the subject of worrying, then you can come and you can say, no, this is what God says about it versus this is what the world says. Being that worrying, being that natural reaction to our human flesh is to worry, to see the negative side, when we come and we understand it, then we can say, all right, now we know how to get past it. Now we know how to live a life of Hakuna Matata. If you're taking notes tonight, point number one, understand that worry is driven by fear. You know, I mean, you think about it, when it comes to worry, it's not a worry is not driven by joy. Worry is not driven by, you know, the what if, although the what if is driven by fear. Worry is driven by fear. It's the fear of what's going to happen. It's the fear of, oh no, they're going to do this. It's the fear of the unknown. It's that anxiety. And all of a sudden, we look at it and you have to understand that worry is driven by fear. Pastor Debbie, when we were talking about this subject, when I was talking about it with her, she said this to me. I thought it was so impactful to me. Fear is to worry as faith is to hope. If you're taking notes, I really think you got to write that down. Fear is to worry as faith is to hope. Now, you guys may be familiar with the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse number 1. Faith is the substance of things unseen, is the evidence of things hoped for, right? Faith is the substance of things unseen, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things unseen, you know. And before I was preaching, I was like, don't mess that up, Luke, but here I go. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things unseen. Faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for. Faith to hope. Faith is the substance of hope. Fear is the substance of worry. So if you're living in fear, you're not living in faith. So we have to understand that worry is driven by our fears. But how many of you guys know that the Bible tells us that we're more than conquerors? You remember 3 weeks ago when I came and we finished the Romans, the 8th chapter, and I talked about the conquistadors and having the conquering attitude. And I told you that you could keep your chin up, keep pressing on and seek after God, right? We know that we can live a life that isn't wrapped around fear, a life that isn't involved so much in fear, a life that isn't controlled by fear, because God has given that to us. You know, if you have your Bibles, if you turn with me to 2 Timothy, right before the book of Hebrews. The first chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 1.
Verse number 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
God has not given us a spirit of fear. Guys, we can walk through the day and we can know that, listen, you know, the fear of the things that are that come against us, I don't know, the what if, the, you know, oh no, this is going to happen, woe is me, now this is going to happen, and all of a sudden the anxiety sets in, the worry sets in because we don't know, right? That fear sets in. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Let me tell you something. When I was a kid, when I was really young, my mom and dad, they bought a house. They tore it down. They remodeled it. Well, in order to remodel a house and not build a new house and go through all the permit process, you have to leave one wall up in the house. That way, it's the existing structure still remains, and it's called remodeling instead of rebuilding. Well, my parents rebuilt this old house. I mean, it was just ghetto. They tore it down, left one wall. All new windows, all new doors, new insulation, new roof, new ceiling. And then there was just one wall in that house that was old from like the 1930s or 1940s up in Yucaipa when it was cold. Everything was new. Well, that one wall just so happened to be the outside wall of my bedroom. All right? Here I am, this young kid. I'm like 10 years old, 11 years old. My sister got this nice new window, you know, new house with like the double pane windows, and you know, and I got this raggedy old window that never locked, that never shut right, that didn't sit in the window seat right. So every time the wind would blow, the window would go. And here I am, you know, like this 8-year-old, 10-year-old kid. I'm just laying in bed like, oh my God, you know, I'm just like freaking out. And my mom, I'd have nightmares about, you know, like the coyotes, and because you hear the coyotes at night in the window, oh my gosh, you know, just like freaking out. And I'd like, you know, as a kid, I'd start to cry and call out to my mom, and my mom would come in at 3 a.m. and she'd hug me. I'd be crying because I'm scared of this window. I mean, they never replaced the window, but you know, they just taught me. My mom would tell me every time she'd come in here, Luke, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, and she'd tell it to me over and over again. And then all of a sudden I started to grab onto that. The window would shake. Oh, no, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Okay. Roll back over in the window. Oh, you know, God has not given me a spirit. But then all of a sudden, you know, I started repeating that. I started confessing what the word said over my life. And I was dealing with that fear. You know, you said, it's funny now that we laugh at it. And I think it's hilarious. You know, but as an 8-year-old, as a 10-year-old kid, I mean, that was like devastating to me. Honestly, my parents to this day, I kid you not, Stacy's been there, have apologized to me numerous times. Luke, we are so sorry that we stuck you in the farthest room away from us, in the oldest, nastiest, coldest room. And they felt so bad. I mean, Stacy can attest, my dad has apologized numerous times. But you know what it did is all of a sudden mom taught me when she was confessing that over my life, to start speaking the word of God of our life. You know, when fear comes at us, when something comes at us and we start to fear what's going to happen, the unknown, you know, we start to fear the variables. This could be this, this could be this. And all of a sudden worry sets in, anxiety sets in, stress sets in. How many of you guys know that fear comes to rob you? Fear takes away your joy, right? I mean, how many times have you been like super afraid or super worried, but at the same time, so happy? I mean, it's like, right? And you're worried? No, they don't coincide. But we as Christians can speak the word of God over life. When you have an issue that's coming against you and worry wants to set in, you can speak the word of God. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Oh, you know what? Okay, then worry might go away for a little while. Then you come back again. You know what? I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Oh, okay, cool. I feel better. 5 minutes later, worry starts, anxiety comes back in. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And all of a sudden, you start to train yourself. You know what? I don't fear this because I know that God's in control. You know, regardless of what happens to me in my life, regardless of the situation in my life, I know that God's in control. Jesus is saying in Matthew, the 6th chapter, 25th and 26th verse, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you eat, what you drink, your body, what you put on. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they are? Look at your life, he says. Don't worry about the clothes. Don't worry about the fashions. Don't worry about the fads. Don't worry about what your friends are going to say about your raggedy shoes. Don't worry about the holes in your shirt. Don't worry about the food that you're going to eat. He says, look at the birds. They go around. They fly around. Do they look like they're freaking out about where they're going to feed? No. God provides for them.
And if they are, if God provides them, you're His kids. We are His children. They are His creation, but we are of God. Would not God provide more so for us? So we as children of God can know and rest assured that God cares for us. God is looking out for us. If you remember 5 weeks ago, I think, when we were in Romans, the 8th chapter, one of my points was God's got your back. When fear settles in, when worry settles in, we can rest assured that God has got your back. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And then all of a sudden, we can understand that, you know what? Worry is trivial. Wow. It's temporal. It's stupid. We can rise above it. We can be the children of God, and we can rise above worry, and we can live that Hakuna Matata life. If you're taking notes tonight, number two, in understanding some things about worry. Understand that worry benefits no one. Jesus says in Matthew, the 6th chapter, if you had your finger there, it's okay. There's 27th verse. Which of you can add one cubit to his stature by worrying? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Think about it in life. What has worry ever gained you? What has worry ever given back to you? Has it ever given anything good back? Has worrying ever put money in the bank? Maybe the fruit of, you know, worrying, working harder because you're worried that you might lose your job, you know, so you want to work harder. But I mean, I'm saying, like, as far as worrying, when has worrying ever given anything back? As a matter of fact, worrying takes away. You know, there was a time in my life where I would get hives. How many of you guys have had hives? How many of you guys have not had hives? How many of you guys don't even know what hives are? Okay, a few of you. Hives are like, how many of you guys have been bit by a mosquito? All right, or a bumblebee or something like that. You know how you get that little swell, and then it itches. I even have a mosquito bite right here right now. And it itches, and you just itch it. It's miserable, right? Well, take that little tiny mosquito bite and make it like 6 inches or the size of a dollar. And there's these big, like, they're not like boils, right? They're just like these bumps, but they itch. And they get all over you. Sometimes they come up on my back. Sometimes they would come up on my shoulder. One time they came on my face. And Stacy had to take me to the doctor because my eyes swelled shut. And she had to shoot me in the bum with the Benadryl. It was not a high point of my life. How many of you guys know that worry doesn't add to anything? What did you have to do with anything, Luke? You know, every time I go to the doctor, I went to the doctor numerous occasions for the hives. Doc, I need an allergy test. They gave me an allergy test. Oh, it's not this, not that. It's nothing you ate, blah, blah, blah. It's not the food. What is it? Stress. Okay, thanks, Doc. You know, and come back to the doctor a month later with more hives. Doc, what is it? Stress. Take some Benadryl. Thanks, Doc. All right, you know, I'm glad I paid my copay for you to tell me that. Come back to the doctor again. Doc, what is it? Stress. Oh my gosh, finally I stopped going to the doctor because at first, for the longest time, I thought, man, that's just a cop-out, you know? The doctor doesn't want to tell me what it really was. But really, honestly, it was stress. I was going through some hard times in college, and Stacy and I were deciding whether or not, you know, we're going to get married and jump into it. And it was a tough time in my life. I don't break out in hives anymore. I eat everything I want. So actually, as a matter of fact, stress affects the body. How many of you guys have known that one before? How many of you guys have felt the effects of stress, exhaustion, right? Not clear thinking, emotional decisions. Sometimes we're stressed out and we say things to other people that we don't mean to say, or we blurt out, you know, without thinking. I see some head nod. Yeah, okay, we're on the same page, right? Stress affects the body. Stress does not add to anything. Jesus says, who can add one cubit to his stature by worrying? What does worry give us? What does stress give us? It doesn't give us anything. What does anxiety, what does living a paranoid life, a life of anxiety give us? It's a life of bondage. It's a life that takes away from us. It's a life that leads to ulcers, a life that leads to hives, a life that leads to exhaustion, to emotional decisions, to downfall, right? Worry gets us nowhere. Worry gives us nothing. So you know what? We as Christians need to understand, listen, when I'm living in worry, when I'm feeling that worry coming on, when I'm feeling that anxiety coming on, I need to kick myself in gear because you know what? For one, I just stepped out of kingdom principles because how many of you guys know that God does not want us to live a life of pain? God does not want us to live a life of anxiety. God does not want us to live a life of sorrow, of paranoia, of fear. We are not controlled by these things. As Christians, as children of God, we can rise up. We can trust in God. We can know that God has our back. Worry adds to nothing. So if you're living a life of worry in this place tonight, if you've got some issues in your life that you're worrying about, I want to encourage you tonight. Start thinking about it. What is that worry doing you? What benefit do you get from taking your time and worrying? Is anybody in this place tonight? We need to look at the issue in God's in its face. Whatever it is, whether it's, you know, starting up school, trying to find a job in this economy, whether it's trying to meet new friends, whether it's trying to get into a school, or whether it's trying to pay the bills or find a place to live or find a roommate. You guys need to look. We as Christians, myself included, above all, need to look the issues in the face and start to speak the word of God over it. No, I'm not going to let you control my life. No, I'm not going to let you consume my thoughts. No, I'm not going to let you bring me down. You know why? Because I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that I can have the faith for God to provide for me. If the birds can eat, then I can eat. If the birds can live and they can be pretty and they can have nice clothes, then I can too. You can look the item, you can look the issue, you can look that worry right in the face. And you can tell it no in the name of Jesus. Because it doesn't benefit anything. Finally tonight, if you're taking notes, point number three. Understand that worry wastes your time. I think we've all experienced this before. We've worried, we've stressed for hours, for days. Sometimes we've stressed over something for weeks or months, right? Go through life and just brings us down. Just wearing down on us, tired, just not feeling good, you know, got the hives, whatever, for long periods of time or short periods of time. Then all of a sudden we get through the issue, right? The issue presents itself, whatever the problem is, it arrives, we get through it. Then you look back and you say, what the heck was I worried about? Has anybody been there? You've just gone through the scenarios in your head and oh my gosh, I just can't. And then all of a sudden you look back and you say, you know what? The last 3 months of my life, I stressed about this, or, you know, I stressed about getting that, or I let it get to me. Guys, let me tell you something. Time doesn't stop. Right? It keeps going. We don't know what's going to happen in this very next minute. Our next breath, we may or may not be here. Who knows? It could be a comet. I mean, you know, it's inevitable. There's so many variables in life. We are not promised tomorrow, right? Why do we spend our time wasting it in worry? Why do we spend our time wasting it in anxiety? Why do we spend our time wasting it in doubt? Why not live a life of faith, a live a life of up and up, a live a life of positive, of encouragement? Because we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know what the next minute is going to be. And the thing about time is once it passes, we don't get it back, right? How many times have you looked back on your life and say, man, if I could do that again, right? Some of us, you know, we got some humdingers in the past. It's like, man, if I could go back and do that one again. We can't get our past back. We can't press rewind like the movie Click, or no, you can't rewind. You can only fast forward in that movie. That's a good example. Time flies by us, guys. And, you know, you look at it, it's like, man, I remember when Pastor Dan and Pastor Jess had Chloe. You know, some of you guys were here, you might remember that. Seemed like they had their little baby Chloe like last year. She's five. I mean, time flies by. I felt like I graduated college last year. It's been 4 years since I've been out of college now. Time flies. You look back and you're like, whoa. Where did 2008 go? You know, I mean, did we skip it? Time goes by so fast in our lives. We're so busy, especially young adults, because we're doing this, we're doing that, we're trying to do this, trying to go to school and work at Starbucks and work at Forever 21 and do this and hang out and go to movies and be on the up and up with our friends. You know, we're doing so much. Like, Stacy and I are home for like 3 hours out of the week. I mean, we got these dogs that I feel bad because it's like they're like, who are you when we get to the window? You guys know you're laughing because you know it's the truth, you too. We go so fast as young adults that time flies by. We don't get it back, guys. I encourage you to understand. Worrying wastes your time. You don't want to look back at your life. You don't want to look back at your teens and at your 20s, at your 30s, and say, man, what was I thinking about? Why was I stressing about this? Why was I stressing about that? You know, Stacy and I, we just come into a new avenue in our life. There's a lot of worry that's set in when we initially jumped into this new avenue of our life, you know, we thought, God, there's so many things that could go wrong. There's so many things that could go wrong, and then there's one thing that can go right, right? One or two things. You start to think about all the variables. What if this happens? 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 Then that means that this, and then that means that this is going to do, and that means that it's going to be like this, and then I'm going to be 50, and then it's going to be like that, and then I'm going to be like that, and then I'm going to be 65, and then I'm going to be making this when I'm 65. Oh my God, my life is over, right? We can waste our time building on something that doesn't exist. Worrying, waste your time. You know, Stacy and I, we were at Catalina. We rented some scuba diving equipment because we just got certified for scuba diving. We were super stoked about renting all the scuba diving equipment. We took it with us on my dad's boat because Catalina is supposed to be like world-class diving, so number one spots in America to dive. And we're like super jazzed. So we get in there and like day one goes by. Oh, no, it's kind of too choppy. No, don't worry about it. You know, we'll go snorkeling instead. And then the second day comes by. Oh, no. It's too cold. I don't know. I don't want to try on the wetsuit. I don't know. We don't have the instructor with us this time. So, oh, let's go snorkeling again. Okay, so we go snorkeling. Finally, day three goes, and Stacy and I realize, well, dude, our vacation is like half over. We've already spent half of it like worrying about whether or not we can even go scuba diving. We're paying for this equipment by the day. Haven't even used it. So finally, we get over it. We go scuba diving. Great, grand, wonderful. We have a beautiful time. It's just awesome. We're like blown away. It looks like we were like literally scuba diving in Hawaii. And then all of a sudden, on the way back, you have these weight belts that like kind of pull you down because everything's so buoyant, you know, in scuba diving. So I got this weight belt that I rented, and it's just these lead weights. And, you know, if any of you guys have bought weight, usually it's like $1 a pound or $1.50, $2 a pound. But so I'm coming up, and all of a sudden I look down at my feet, and my weight belt's like around my ankles. And I'm going up, and my weight belt's going down. And I'm like, oh, you know what, I'm trying to like swim down. But I'm like, you know, if you guys ever try to swim with like a life jacket on, you know, my legs are up in the ocean. Like, they're not even in the water. They're above water going like this, trying to kick, you know, and I'm just kicking air, trying to swim down. Well, let me tell you something, guys. For the next 2 or 3 days, I sat there in a bad mood at Catalina. I can't believe I lost that weight belt. Man, they're going to charge me like $50. And then they're going to charge me a fee for losing it. And then they're going to charge me a replacement fee. And I'm going to have to pay $150. And my family's like, dude, calm down about that weight belt. Like, and literally, Stacy can attest. It like ruined my vacation for those couple days. I'm like so stressed out about the weight belt. Then we go to turn it in. And the guy's like, aw, dude, $5. I kid you not. He charged me like $5 for the weight. And how do you know? That's one of those moments where you look back in life and you're like, what happened to my vacation? Because I don't remember any of it because I was worrying. Worrying wastes our time. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 34. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow you'll worry about its stone things. Sufficient is today, is the day. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Guys, don't worry about what happens tomorrow. Don't worry about what, you know, what's going to happen with that new job. Give it to God. You know, we in our lives, we worry. We'll say, okay, Luke, well, what do we not worry? In conclusion, tonight, I want to encourage you guys. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33, Jesus gives you the answer. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, we go about our life and we worry about things. We toil about things. We toss and turn over and over, just ruining ourselves, withering away. Guys, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When you've got something going on in your life, which I know a lot of us young adults do, give it to God. Remember 2 weeks ago, my messages, they coincide. Keep going forward. Keep your chin up. Give it to God. Seek after God. Because you know what? Worry will come in and it will eat you away. You know, how many of you guys know it's a device of Satan to distract you? Because how many of you guys know you can't be happy if you're worrying? If you're anxious, if you're paranoid, you're not happy. And Satan's going to come and he's going to try to come and place in your life situations. He's going to allow you to worry. He's going to present itself to you. It's your natural human reaction. But how many of you guys know that in Christ we are new creations? We can say to that natural reaction of worry, you have no place. I am a child of God. I am a new creation. I have not been given a spirit of fear. Fear will not run my life. I will give this situation to God. I will seek after God. And how many of you guys know you seek after God? You follow after God. The Bible says that God will draw near to you. Now all of a sudden you don't live a life of worry. You don't live a life of anxiety. You're not stressed out about what you're going to say to that girl when she walks by. You're not stressed out about what you're going to say on that interview. You're not stressed out about what you're going to write in that school term paper. You're not stressed out about what you're going to do in your traffic court. Because you know what? God's got you in His hands. God's got your back. Give it to God tonight. And remember, Hakuna Matata. Did you guys get something out of that tonight?